The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
It is time for Dark Side of the Pooch. Dr. Reb, what you got, baby? How are you? Oh, that was a good one. That was really good. We got a monster show. You know, this show is running on the 4th of July, so this is our 4th of July Dark Side of the Pooch, so we light up the sky. It'll be a little dark out there. We're going to get into a coyote attack, a bloodhound making some big news, and also 2022, the best pet names. We'll get into that coming up in a few minutes. He is Rossbridge Animal Hospital's main man, Dr. Rab Stewart. Of course, you can give him a call, 205-208-0301, 208-0301 at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. How's your summer going so far? Happy 4th of July to you. How you been, man?
I'm wearing my Stars and Stripes socks right now. I got my America socks on.
I love that. That's a great thing. Let's jump right into it here. We have the 2022 best pet names that I want to get into. So be thinking while we go through some of these Mutt Mail questions, some of the strangest names you've ever had of any of your people that have come through, or your dogs and cats that have come through your office. But a Vermont woman last week was attacked by a coyote as she walked her dog. It's the fourth recorded coyote attack since 1991 in the state of Vermont. And Tyler from Sarasota threw a question out that I think kind of goes along with this. He said his Pekingese was bitten by a squirrel the other day, and that his Pekingese is acting kind of lethargic and acting kind of strange. Could it be rabies? Whenever you see wild animal attacks, is that the first thing you think of?
I mean, I guess it depends on the animal. I think the last time that I checked, I could be wrong, but I think the last time I checked, small rodents did not carry rabies. So, I mean, there are lots of animals that do. Maybe Jamie can Google that for us real quick. I don't think small rodents carry rabies. So
Jamie, would you get on that right away, sir?
I'm right on that, Tony Curry.
He's on it right now. Well, I know the bats obviously are small. They're not rodents, but they're small flying mammals.
Bats do, and wild dogs do, and wild cats do, and raccoons do, and foxes do. Something else I don't know, is fox plural or is it foxes?
It's foxes. Yeah. James has got it. Here's the latest here.
All right. Here we go. This is from the CDC, cdc.gov, if you need to know.
Nice.
Small rodents like squirrels, hamsters, guinea pigs, gerbils, chipmunks, rats, mice, and Lego morphs. I don't know. Including rabbits.
Yeah,
and
rabbits.
Okay, cool. Almost never found to be infected with rabies. There you go.
That's interesting. And why is that? Because I would think that if you're a Lego morph, or what do they call them?
Legomorphs are rabbits are in the legomorph family.
Yeah, I would think that if you would actually get an animal that was bitten by an animal with rabies, then it could get rabies. Is that because those smaller animals don't get bitten, or they just don't contract it?
That's a good question, but that's the way that I remembered it. Is you don't see it there. It may have something to do with their salivary glands, because that's where the virus. That's how it's transmitted, is through saliva. That's the only way that you can get it. So I wonder if it has something to do with those glands in those kind of small rodents and lagomorphs. They can still transmit other diseases, and especially like local bacterial infections. I'm sure they have very dirty mouths. Talking squirrels and other. If rats bite you, then you can get rat bite fever. Yeah, that's a bacteria. It sounds terrible. I'm not sure which one sounds worse, rat bite fever or monkeypox.
Rat bite fever. I've never heard that. That's the first time I heard cat scratch fever, but I never heard a rat bite fever. So
I would rather hear cat scratch fever than get rat bite fever.
I would too. Oh. So the last time you had an animal with rabies come through the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, and what do you look for if, in fact, you do think that maybe your animal has rabies? And is it always deadly?
We've never had a rabies, confirmed rabies case where at Rossbridge. I mean, it's it's not real common, you know, because of the vaccines. And there was an outbreak at a local, and this is not, you know, I mean, this is not anything negative about rabies or the practice where it happened, because it can happen anywhere. But there was a local practice that had a cat come in that was positive. And what our job is as veterinarians is to take care of pets. And so sometimes something will come in and it'll have kind of nondescript symptoms. You know, rabies is a neurological condition. And it can be kind of hard to diagnose, but, you know, pets will walk funny. They'll just act funny. You know, they'll act like they're kind of walk like they're drunk, things like that. So you're examining this pet, trying to figure out what's going on. And so you're looking everywhere. You're looking on its coat. You're listening to it. You're palpating it. You're looking in its mouth. So there was a practice where a cat ended up being positive, and they had done a thorough exam like you're supposed to do. And so they had some people exposed. So they had to go through the post-exposure protocols for humans there. And unfortunately for pets, the only way to diagnose rabies is you have to euthanize them and you have to test the brain tissue. Oh, that's wow. The only way you can diagnose rabies. So, you know, it's a big deal. It's not always fatal. You know, exposure is not always fatal. As long as you get the post-exposure vaccines and the protocols, you follow the protocols. But for most pets, you know, unfortunately, well, for all pets, to diagnose it, it is fatal, because you have to euthanize them and test the brain.
And do you find too, and I think you brought this up, that wild animals that do have rabies, they're non-fearful, right? They act strange enough that they will actually attack?
Yeah, one of the things that you want to look for in wild animals is their lack of fear, because they're, I mean, you know, even coyotes, you know, they're, for the most part, they're going to run away.
Yeah.
If a human confronts them. Even these, you know, kind of larger predators. So especially like raccoons and foxes, if they show that they are interested in you or curious in you, then you should not reciprocate, and you should get the heck out of there.
You don't want to try to pet that raccoon that won't go off your front porch.
No, those things, man, they've got sharp teeth, and some of them have rabies.
Yeah. You're listening to Dark Side of the Pooch. We do it every Monday. Happy 4th of July. The show's running on the 4th of July. Of course, we'll have our Detonation Station big show later on tonight here on the 4th of July at 9 o'clock right here on Tony Curry Radio. You can listen to all the shows on Spotify. Search Tony Curry Radio. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. And leave your email questions. Shelly in Birmingham says, Dr. Rab, I love you. I love the show. She is a patient of yours. She said, what does Dr. Rab think about Trumpet, the first bloodhound to win the Westminster Kennel Club Best of Show?
I love bloodhounds. They're awesome.
Aren't they?
Big floppy ears. They're like the limousine. They're one of the limousines of dogs. They're so long and just luxurious and floppy.
They are. And I was wondering why it takes so long for a bloodhound actually to win Best of Show, because they are so cool looking.
I don't know. Maybe they're too drooly. Maybe the judges don't like all that drool.
I think it would have been awesome. It would have been awesome if a guy looking like Jed Clampett would have been actually walking that dog up there in New York. That would have been.
I forgot about that.
We're going to get into the 2022 best pet names, and we'll find out from Dr. Rab some of the favorite pet names he's had come through the Rossburg Animal Hospital. 208-0301, 208-0301, Rossbridge Vet on Twitter and the Rossburg Animal Hospital on Facebook. Sam in Vero Beach heard a story, and I pulled the story up, about a veterinarian harvesting a skin sample for a process representing IVF, which involves growing a clone embryo in the uterus of a surrogate dog. In other words, your dog could die, and you could clone your dog and have it again. Have you heard of this? Is that something you do? What is all of it?
Yeah, that is not something that I have ever done.
Could you do it?
I would have no clue how to do that. Now, I mean, obviously, you know, it sounds like it can be done, but I would have no clue how to do that. That far exceeds my capabilities, my reproductive capabilities. But you know, I don't, I'm sitting here with my dog right now. Renzo, do you want to be cloned? Would you like to live again? He barely looked at me and he didn't even raise his head. And I think that probably what's going through his brain is, if you keep these three screaming brats around me, I do not want to be cloned, and I do not want to live again.
It sounds like something that maybe you'd want to, I mean, if you just want to have your dog as you know it for the rest of your life, you'd clone it before the first one would die, right? So you just keep cloning every 6 or 7 years, and so you just always have the same. I mean, could you imagine people that you're friends with after 45 years, you still had that same dog? I'm like, sure.
Isn't there some kind of movie? This is either a movie or a TV show. Oh, it is a movie, and it's Michael Keaton, Duplicity.
Yes.
Do you guys remember this
movie? I do. I do.
And all the clones just got dumber and dumber with each clone.
Yeah. That kind of makes sense.
I mean, God bless him, my dog. He couldn't get much dumber, could you, buddy?
Did you know? Did you know? Out of Barber Motorsports, they clone the trees out there.
Well, I did not know that.
Yeah, when you drive into the front stretch of Barber Motorsports, they took one tree and they cloned. I think there was like 1,000 different trees, but they cloned all the trees along the stretch that goes up the front, so every tree would look the same and would be the same height, and they would all be uniform. And when I heard that, I was like, "That's incredible." George Barber obviously has more money and has to do with it. He's cloning trees, but that's
a beautiful place, though. It really is awesome out there.
It is gorgeous. All right, James Michael Keats has a question. He showed me three pictures of his brand new Australian Shepherd dogs. He was asking which one, and there was one I was like, you got to get this in one in the middle. But go ahead and ask your question here, James.
All right, so you know Australian Shepherds, they've got these different these different coat types, and Tony and I were talking, and it would be really interesting to know if their coat sort of changes as they grow older, as far as, you know, where the patches are and stuff, or does it always grow the same color in the same, like, hair follicle spot?
They stay pretty consistent, where their pigment, you know, their white is, or where their red or gray, or, you know, whatever colors you're going with, they stay there. I mean, as the dogs grow, they, you know, grow proportionately, you know, the fur patterns will grow proportionately with the dog. So, they're pretty much set until, you know, they get old, and then their pigment spots will start to turn gray, just like, you know, most dogs. But yeah, you don't have to worry about color changes in those areas, unless there's some type of like disease process. You know, sometimes if they have a skin infection, it'll change the color of the hair, which is kind of weird, but that would be a special case.
We definitely need to send you the pictures of these three pups, because just like children, they're so precious when they're young, and then they grow up.
Oh, they are. Those are beautiful dogs.
Is there any animal out there, any dog out there that looks like a pup and ends up staying like a pup?
Well, I don't think there's any one specific breed that does, you know, but sometimes, just like people, you'll have these dogs come in. We had one come in, I think it was Saturday. And I mean, it was amazing. This dog was 11 years old, and it was one of these kind of mixed breed dogs. I think it was like maybe part Havanese and something else, you know, like one of these kind of specialty crossbreed dogs. Mm-hmm. And it was over 10 years. I was 11 years old. And I mean, it still looked like a puppy. I think it's more common than in small breed dogs that you'll see that. You know, larger breed dogs tend to show their age, either because they get overweight, or they do start to have some gray, you know, on their bodies, or, you know, they lose muscle mass. And so they just kind of look thin around their hips and their face, kind of sunken eyes and stuff. But these smaller dogs, that doesn't happen. So if you get a dog that's, you know, probably 15 pounds or less, those are dogs that, you know, will, and they, it's possible that they can look young for a long time. But just like in people, I think it's just a dog to dog thing. You know, they just have good genes, and they just seem to not age, like they should. You know, they seem to stay young for a while.
Every Monday is Dark Side of the Pooch Monday here on Tony Curry Radio. Of course, the 4th of July show going on, Detonation Station later on tonight. We have a special musical presentation while you're blowing off your fireworks. In the meantime, we got some fireworks of our own here, Dark Side of the Pooch. His number is 205 208-0301. Rossbridge Vet on Twitter and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, of course, on Facebook. He's Dr. Rab Stewart. Pet Paws has come out with their new list of 2021-2022 best pet names. You ready?
Oh, yeah. I love this.
Dr. Potato Head, a cat named Pickles, McButterpants, the Muffin Slayer, Macho Dog Randy Savage. Here's one for you. How about Motley Chew? Ruth Bader Kitzberg, Mr. Murder Mittens, and the last one, Linda from Human Resources. We always try to come up with some great names for animals, and I know sometimes when my dog, I'll finally get in my recliner, and I finally pull the covers up, and I'm like, I'm good to go, right? I'm in for the night, and then the dog comes up, and I know he needs to go out, and I don't leave the door open because it's too hot outside, and so then I have to let the dog out, and then I get back in my chair thinking he's going to be out there for a while, and I get comfortable, and of course, you hear the bark at the back door. I need to get a doggy door. But yeah, there's some great names. What are some of these strange and weird names you've had come through the Rossbridge Animal Hospital?
Human names are always really funny to me. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, like Linda from HR, yeah. Just a regular person name always makes me laugh. And then the other thing that's funny is when this happens more in cats, but you know, the owner gets a 6-week-old cat and they're convinced that it's a boy or a girl. And so they'll name it accordingly. And then they'll come in a few weeks later after the genitals are more developed and you can tell, you know, if it's a boy or a girl, and it'll be the opposite, you know? And so you just have a boy cat with a female name and vice versa. So that's really funny. But I mean, I've had people name their pet Butthole, you know, just because they don't, you know, they don't like it. You know, oh yeah, that's my cat Butthole.
Yeah.
Dillweed, you know, stuff like that. I think, you know, you have a big population of people who, you know, some stoners out there. So we've had some ganjas.
Yeah.
But you know, I've had at least one ganja. So, I mean, it's really just too many to name, you know, but the names you rattled off, I don't think I've ever had any that were quite that exquisite.
I have inadvertently and ashamingly said the F you to my dogs on occasion. So instead of saying F you, I say Farquaad from I go Farquaad. And I think they actually know what it means, but actually Rainer's starting to answer to me when I call him Farquaad, so I may be saying it a little too much. But I think that would be probably a good name for a pet, just so you wouldn't have to say.
It would be good. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fine name. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe that'll be my next dog name.
All right, so Dr. Ab, I'm gonna go off the page here with you because you're a good dear friend of mine. I've known you for a long period of time. What's the biggest news that's been going on in this country?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's got to be the Supreme Court.
Yes,
overturn it,
exactly.
Roe versus Wade.
And so I was asking James, and we're certainly not going to get political here or religious, but I do think it's really interesting. I thought, I wonder if there's a question I can ask him about dogs and cats and how, if and when they need to abort kittens before the health of the animal or the mother is compromised, how that works. And also, is it comparable to a human life when dogs and kittens have pups and kittens, as far as when their heartbeat starts, when you recognize when a dog is actually a dog and a kitten's actually a kitten. What's your thoughts on that?
It's a lot different in animals because animals are considered property. You know, when they're considered property, the owner can make all the decisions that they want, you know. Because it's like, you know, it's like your home or it's like your car or, you know, whatever. So they can call the shots and,
well, and the unfortunate thing, if I can just intertwine here, the unfortunate thing is most people would not think to abort a puppy or a kitten and they would let it give birth and then they would just abandon it, which is worse than anything I could possibly think of.
Yeah. So it hasn't happened often because of where we are, you know, geographically, our location. There's not a lot of breeding that goes on. But there are, I mean, certainly parts of the metro area, a little more rural, where they do have a lot of breeding. And either it's breeding that's done on purpose or it's accidental breeding. I have had in my career a couple of times where a pet was brought in to be spayed and they didn't know, they had no clue, you know, what the animal had been up to the past month or two, mm-hmm. you know, because they just adopted it or they found it and they know they're trying to take care of their pet or whatever.
Yeah.
And there've been a couple of times where we've gone in to spay and, you know, lo and behold, the pet is pregnant and the owner didn't know and we didn't know and whatever. And you know, in situations like that, you're kind of too far gone to do anything. So you spay them. And those dogs and cats are too young, you know, I mean, they're certainly not viable. You know, you couldn't go ahead and do like a C-section and then be alive.
Yeah.
So, you know, you terminate them, with the spay and it is humane. You know, they don't know what's going on. They don't feel any pain or anything like that, but you know, it is, it was sad, you know, when that happened, because it's a life, you know, but the dogs and cats, they don't, you know, at that stage of they don't understand that they're pregnant, you know, they don't know. So it's not like they're upset and it's just human emotions, you know? But with them being considered property, we just do what we're told, you know?
Is there ever a time where you would have to abort a puppy or a cat to, keep the health of the adult alive in that particular case? Have you had any difficulties doing that? And you mentioned a C-section. Have you ever done a C-section on an animal?
Oh yeah, we've done C-sections and we wouldn't abort them. We would just wait until they were, because most people who are breeding, most people who are purposefully breeding, they know when the due date is and they know, if the mother could be in danger of having babies that are too big, or if they have a breed that is predisposed to having dystocias, and what dystocias are, that's just a medical term, a reproductive term for, a baby that gets stuck in the birth canal.
Yeah.
So, at that point we would just schedule a C-section. So there wouldn't be any termination. It would just be like a normal, you know, rather than a natural live birth, we would just do a C-section.
I got you. All right. I knew you'd have something very, very smart and intelligent and very compassionate to say about that. And I greatly appreciate you going there. We have one more mutt mail here on Dark Side of the Pooch. Go to Spotify. And I don't know how many shows we've done, Dr. Rab. We've probably done 50 or 60 shows, something like that. You can go back. How many? 28? 28 different shows, our producer's saying, which is amazing. We've had a great run, and more emails come to Dark Side of the Pooch than any other show we do here on Tony Currie Radio. We got a brand new show with Kip Kiefer coming up called Need to Know and a Want to Bet show. And of course, we couldn't do it without our great sponsorship from Ed's Pet World. Ed's Pet World down there in beautiful Homewood. I talk to Seth every single week. I get on there and get my mice for my ball python. They got all kinds of exotic animals down there, everything from chinchillas to snakes to fish. They do rabbits. They have ferrets. I mean, they have everything. Now, tarantulas, bearded dragons, the whole nine yards. If you want an exotic pet, Ed's Pet World is the place to go. And then throw in the fact that Seth is a huge toy dealer and a toy collector. He does collectibles, all kinds of Star Trek stuff, Star Wars stuff. He goes all over the country. If you want to buy, sell, and trade some toys, go check out Ed's Pet World. They're fantastic. They do a wonderful work. Jenny from Vicksburg, Virginia, says, Dr. Rab, I love the show. She said, everyone's asking, how has climate control or climate change affected our pets, if any?
Oh,
that's
man.
Question. That's a big question.
That is a big question. And I guess I'm not really sure, because I'm not, it's always hot here,
yeah.
You know, like it's always hot here and it's you know, trying to deal with dogs and cats that are too hot here has been something that we've always kind of dealt with. We don't really have to deal with pets getting too cold here. Sometimes we do, but most time it's all about the heat. So we just have to be careful that they're not outside for too long during the really hot months. And we need to be aware of what to do if they do get too hot. So, you know, I mean, we just try to plan for the big heat.
Yeah. By the way, did you see, the story about the python they caught down in Florida last week? It was 18 feet and like 400 pounds. It was the largest python.
No, I didn't see this. I heard about one that they released. Somebody released it up in New York State, but I did not hear about this one.
You need to pull up, just pull up Florida python. It's amazing. It's 18 feet long. It had the teeth of a bobcat in its stomach. Deer antlers in its stomach. I mean, it was pretty incredible. And of course, they euthanized it, but they are actively down there because someone who had a pet ball python or python let it go several years ago, and it's not indigenous to that area. And obviously, pythons are killing everything that's moving in the swamplands, and it's killing our ecosystem. But they have, there's the picture of it. It's insane. Pull up a picture after the show, and it will blow you away. It's pretty amazing stuff.
I'm going to pull it up. I heard that there were some pythons, out kind of around in the Inverness kind of Oak Mountain area, but I think it was just Tony Curry's arms.
What the hell? Yeah. Yeah, you know what? It's interesting because about once a week, I'll take my ball python and I'll put him in the yard. And pythons don't move fast. They're kind of like turtles. I mean, you can actually go in and take a whiz and come back out, and more likely it'll still be sitting there in the same spot. But it's amazing because if there's a hole in the ground, they will go in a hole in the ground. They're looking for something to eat, and they're getting after it. And so I could certainly – and this particular python had 122 snake eggs in its belly, which is also a record. So there's going to be 122 pythons that were going to be born down there in the Everglades of Florida. So it's pretty amazing stuff. Anything else going on at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital?
No. We're enjoying the holiday. We love summertime. We get to see a lot of boarders, and so it's a good time.
All right, cool. Hey, man, I love you and I appreciate you, and we'll catch up next week. Happy 4th of July to you.
Happy 4th. Love you, man. Talk to you later.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.